Chapter 17.
Master Nostral didn't need a chrono to know it was time to send the anonymous tip. Being attuned to the Force made his internal clock as accurate as any manufactured timepiece. He punched a button on the holocom belted to his waist to scramble the signal, which would distort the image and make it harder to trace. Then he sent a transmission to the Imperial garrison next to the Orbital Defense Command Center. Because of the scrambler, when they answered, the signal was a mess of static snow, flickering low-res images and bad audio.
Imperial Garrison 343.
He could just barely make out a woman's voice over the crackles and hiss.
Check your holo settings. We're getting strong interference.
The Minister's life is in danger. They're setting explosives in his office.
Who are you?
The voice on the other end demanded sharply.
How did you get this frequency?
I'm a friend of the Empire. If you hurry, you can stop them.
Abruptly, he ended the call. Even if the woman on the other end suspected the call was a hoax, they couldn't afford to ignore it. Not with the citywide blackout.
Your friends are on their way, Theron,
Nostral whispered to himself.
I hope you are ready for them.
Theron raced down the hall outside Minister Davidge's office, heading for the stairwell, with the assault rifle clutched in one hand and the pack with the damaged cipher core inside still strapped to his back. The pack was much lighter now that he'd finished planting the explosives and setting the timer in Minister Davidge's office, but he was behind schedule. Thanks to Nostral's anonymous tip, it wouldn't be long before the emergency response team converged on the third floor to try to catch the would-be assassins in the act. If everything had gone according to plan, he would already have the cipher core, and all he'd have to do was get far enough away from the office to be clear of the blast radius. When the team showed up, the detonite would go off accidentally, and he'd slip away in the ensuing chaos. Unfortunately, the Durasteel security door between him and the comm room had thrown a kink into his plans. Theron had stared at it for several minutes, his mind desperately trying to figure out a solution. He couldn't open it, and he couldn't go through it. But, he realized, he could still go around it. The walls of the Minister's communications room were probably reinforced with the same Durasteel as the door, but the ceiling would have to be made from more conventional building materials to allow the Minister to transmit and receive signals from the room. Theron didn't have enough plasma gel left to eat through the Durasteel, but if he got into the office directly above the room, he could make a hole in the floor and drop down. As he raced toward the stairwell, he saw the status light shift from red to yellow, even though he was still too far away from the scanner to read his badge. By the time it switched to green, he had realized what was happening, and as the door slid open, he dropped to the ground in a tumbling roll, bracing himself for the collision with the man on the other side. The Imperial soldier was bent over and leaning forward so the retinal scanner could confirm his identity. The other five members of his team huddled close behind him, alert and ready. Two were watching the stairs above and below, guarding against an enemy ambush. The other three had their weapons trained on the hall, ready to fire on any available target the instant the door opened. But their weapons and their focus were at chest height. They hadn't expected someone to come rolling in like a human wrecking ball.